Well, in every state, and I've seen it here in this area, they have the lists in the newspaper. You ever seen it where they have unclaimed money from the government for people? Although I never see my name on that list, but I see that, you know, keep looking. This is maybe the time. And if I see it, it's mine. I'm getting that. I'm getting something. But I was thinking about that in terms of receiving from God. And I wonder if we went to heaven. Now, I don't know this, but I'm just, you know, just wondering if we went to heaven. And maybe you kind of walked down some of the corridors and you came to this room and it was like a big storage room. And you open the door and you walk in and it's just as high as you can see with shelves. And as far as you can, for miles, just shelves of storage with boxes of all shapes and sizes. And so I'm walking through this storage area and I come to the J section. And I come to some boxes that have my name on it. A whole section from Matt Judd. And I walk up to the boxes, and again, all different size boxes, every kind of shape and size that you can think of. And I look closely at the box, and it has my name. And then underneath it says this, never delivered to earth because never requested from earth. Just like that money in the paper, unclaimed. Is it possible that we have some unclaimed freight somewhere that's ours? And the scriptures say that we have not because we ask not. Or maybe we ask and we ask amiss, not asking according to the scriptures. So prayer is very relevant for us. And it's very relevant for us at the beginning of this year. Spent the last 3 weeks talking about prayer. Most likely this will be the last Sunday for a while until, you know, I've really got so much more to say, but I feel like I need to move on to some other things. But I really think this is key for pivotal, this message, these messages on prayer for what we're to experience in 2007. We've talked about prayer power, prayer benefits. Last week, prayer essentials, which some things were shared that I've never said before in a service, or really even discussing prayer, just some revelation from God. Things that I think I knew intuitively or had practiced but didn't really know how it worked about our desire and fervency. Well, today I want to talk about prayer examples. And there's many from the scriptures. But again, as I'm talking about prayer, I'm not talking about praying 10 hours a day. Now, there may be times when you may pray for an hour or more or have extended times of prayer, but that's not necessarily what I'm talking about. I'm talking about not just quantity of time, but quality of time. I don't know if you ever heard of someone named Edward Everett. This is a man from in history in the 1800s. Anybody ever hear of him? Edward Everett. Well, Everett is the person that spoke before Abraham Lincoln gave the famous Gettysburg Address. And he spoke for an hour and 57 minutes. And when he finished speaking, the crowd that was assembled that day, they stood up and cheered and clapped, gave him a standing ovation of the words that he had to say. Abraham, has everybody heard of the Gettysburg Address? One of a very famous speech in all history. Abraham Lincoln stood up and spoke just from his heart for 2 minutes. That speech was 2 minutes long. And when he sat down, you could hear a pin drop. It was quiet. And it was like a holy reverence for the words that were spoken. So it's not quantity. It's quality. And that's what I'm trying to encourage in our prayer time. Quality prayers going forth. The time that we have, I know we're all busy. We all have busy schedules. But we need to find time in our busy schedules for one of the most important things that we can do is pray. I think the formula, if you're looking for a formula for a successful Christian life, and I hope that everybody here wants to be a successful Christian. I mean, that's my heart's desire. I want to fulfill God's will and fulfill God's plan and accomplish and finish my race strong. But the formula, if there is one now, for a successful Christian life is this: time in prayer, time in study and meditation on God's word, and then time living according to God's word and living out what we prayed. Very simple. Time in prayer, time in study and meditation of God's word, time living according to God's word, and then living out what you prayed. If we were to do that, we'd be successful as believers. We have many great examples in prayer, and there are just so many to list in the Bible. We have Abraham. You remember when he interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah to save the righteous ones? We have Moses interceding for Israel and all the different things that he went through. One point spent 40 days in prayer, top of Mount Sinai, talking to God. We have Elijah. Elijah is used in the book of James as someone that prayed earnestly, that heartfelt, passionate prayers. The book of Nehemiah and how Nehemiah was led by God to rebuild Jerusalem is really a book on prayer. I encourage you to read that. It's really a case study on prayer. Daniel. Daniel had plenty to pray about. He was living in the time of King Nebuchadnezzar. Crazy. Crazy man. He needed a lot of prayer. And he worked for the king. One of his top advisors. Prayed. And lions' mouths were closed. And prayed. And the angels moved. And moved on a nation. Mighty man of prayer. Then, of course, Jesus. Jesus, the scriptures say, often got away by himself to pray. He said he was often in the temple. Jesus called the temple the house of prayer. And I mentioned his passionate prayer in the garden, so intense that the scripture says that he sweat blood. And I love what Jesus said in the book of John. He said this, Father, I mean, just the boldness. Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. Wow. To have that fellowship. And you know, the scriptures talk about the reason, one of the reasons why he was killed, murdered, was because he called God Father. But today I want to focus on, in our time that we have left, on the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul contributed many great and wonderful revelations to the early church. He wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament. He explained to us salvation by grace. He explained and revealed by the Holy Spirit who we are in Christ. He explained the workings and how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And he explained a life of faith. All things and principles that are so powerful for us today revealed to him. But one of the things that really I don't think he really gets credit is his outstanding teaching and example on prayer. All through his writings, every book, he mentions something about prayer or how to pray or what to pray. And so I just want to talk about the Apostle Paul just for a few moments here. And I want to tell you, share with you four things that we need to know about the prayer life of the Apostle Paul, or how he felt about prayer. The first one is that Paul prayed much himself. He never asked someone else to do something that he himself wasn't willing to do. And so he prayed much himself. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. I'm just going to read a couple scriptures here. It says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Without ceasing. He may not have prayed long periods of time, but all through the day he was praying, talking to God, communing with God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." He was someone that prayed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and prayed in the Spirit. You know, and again, being around, one of my mentors is Brother Kenneth Hagin. We have some books by him in our resource center. But someone that I've followed closely in all my years, 20 years of being a believer, and especially since I've been pastoring, read, gone through all his books, listened to many of his tapes, been to many of his meetings. And being around Brother Hagin and really get to knowing him personally, one thing that I saw about him was his outstanding prayer life. And what he prayed about, and the revelation that he had. And the same thing here with Apostle Paul is the revelation didn't just come because he was the Apostle Paul or because he was so gifted. I mean, if there was anybody that you think wouldn't need to pray, was the Apostle Paul. Raised in a wealthy family, raised as a Jew and was a Roman citizen, trained by one of the best Jewish teachers in history, one of the best scholars. Paul was personally trained by him. And then Paul says that he was perfect in the law. And Paul was in one of the strictest sects, the religious sects, which was the Pharisees. They were stricter on the word. I mean, they had the normal rules and regulations, and then they added their own rules and regulations just to make sure they would keep those rules and regulations. Very strict. And Paul said that he was perfect. And so if there's anybody that could get by on just his knowledge and his understanding of the scriptures, it would be Paul. But yet in his relationship with God, he ends up praying more. And I love what it says, and see, this is something that we've got to get a hold of. You know, I probably mention it every week, but in Hebrews chapter 4, talks about going boldly to the throne of grace. One thing Paul realized is in order to do what God called him to do, he's going to need God's grace. And God's throne is where we go to receive grace. Prayer helps us to tap into God's grace. Now, let me tell you again what God's grace is. We've been given gifts and abilities by God. But those gifts and abilities can go only so far. Have you ever felt like sometimes in your life you've hit a wall? Maybe musically, or maybe I was a runner in high school, and I know that as I trained, that I would hit this wall. See, as far as my abilities and my training, this was as far and as fast as I was going to go. And what grace does, grace takes those gifts and takes them and propels them even further than what they would be in the natural, and makes the impact greater. Now, you know, I'm an educated person. I have so many years of college. It's ridiculous. Master's in business. Trained in financial things and business things. And I've read hundreds and hundreds of books and listened to thousands of tapes. And all the things that I've studied over the years. I mean, I've got plenty to share and plenty to preach. But I'm telling you, if I don't have an unction, you don't want to sit here. And so I'm relying on God's grace to give what I'm saying extra punch. And Paul realized, was able to tap into that grace, even as gifted as he was, and was able to tap into that. And that's, as he tapped into the grace, that's where the revelation came. Now, all of us here are gifted in so many ways, and I think sometimes the ones that are more gifted have more of a difficult time because they tend to rely on their gifts to get them by. And if that's you, you're going to have a hard time because you're going to hit a wall. And I've just realized that the things of God are always increasing. There's no limit to growth in God. So I recommend, go boldly to the throne. Yeah, go for forgiveness. Make your requests. Pray for others. Intercede. But remember in that prayer time to find grace. God's ability added to your ability. You know, God's not going to make it for you. The grace is already there. We're learning to tap into it. And then I thought about this, Ephesians 3:20. Every time we pray, every prayer we make ought to be an Ephesians 3:20 prayer. By that I mean, whatever it is that we ask God for, we ought to expect superabundance. We pray for $1,300. At least $1,300 is coming in. We pray for certain things in relationships. At least that is going to happen. And I'm telling you, when you have that kind of mindset and when you begin to get that boldness and that confidence in your prayer time, you start getting out there in what you're asking God for. Now again, people get wacky, I understand. They get fruity. And wacky and nutty. And that's why we need a good church like this to keep you straight. Because Pastor Matt's right arm of fellowship keeps things straight around here. No. The love keeps you straight. But as you get confidence and boldness, you really start declaring some things. I mean, I'm praying some just out there things about this city. And I'm just like thinking, did I just say that? Who was that? He may just have you just praying some... He may just have you praying some outlandish things in your marriage. Well, that's all I'm going to say about that. All right, moving on. Second thing, I need to hurry. Second thing we need to know about Paul's prayer life is what he prayed. And I found at least 19 things, but I'm not going to go through all those. I'm going to give you 8 real quick. If anybody wants a copy of this, well, you can get the tape, of course. But if you want a copy of my notes, you can get that. But here's 8 things real quick that Paul prayed for believers, prayed for us. Number one, you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. These are all found in Paul's writings. The eyes of your heart would be flooded with light. That you would know the hope of his calling. You would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. That you would be strengthened with all might through His Spirit in the inner man. That you would know and experience the love of Christ. That He who had begun a good work in you would complete it. And last one, you would be untainted, pure, sincere, and blameless, approaching the day of Christ without stumbling or causing others to stumble. And I want to encourage you sometime to do that as a study. Go through Paul's writings and find all the things that he prayed for believers. Write those things down and begin to pray them for others. I found 19. I've got 19, at least 19. And that was just kind of just a quick study. 19, at least 19. You don't know what to pray for somebody? You can at least pray these things. The third thing Paul did is he encouraged others to pray. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I've read this scripture already and really talked about this all the last 3 weeks. But he encouraged others to pray. He prayed much himself. He had things that he prayed constantly. And then he encouraged others to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, these are different types of prayers, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. And so I'm doing that with you. I'm encouraging you the last 3 weeks to pray. I'm trying to think of everything I can think of to say to get you to pray an extra minute. Because this year, because we need God's grace. You come up into walls and ministries. I love that song. Talking about in the name, what happens in the name. But you come up to walls and different barriers. And for us to go on, and I'm telling you, there's been churches, other churches in the place that we are right now, in this city, and they haven't gone through the wall. They haven't been able to go through the barriers. This happened, this scandal, or this thing happened, or this other happened, or this split, or what all these different, there's a whole umpteen things that can happen. And it seems from my, I'm talking about this type of church in this city, comes up to that wall. And you're just not going to be able to do it in your own strength. There's got to be some prayer spoken. There's got to be an open door for us to walk through. And we're at that point right now. And I'm telling you, I want to press through. Whatever the cost. I want to press through. Because what that means is there's going to be more touched lives. More people saved, more people healed, more people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the thing that I really love is disciples being raised up. I love someone coming in here hurt and broken and defeated and having God's Word come into their heart and watching that transformation take place and then to one day see that person taking God's Word skillfully on purpose, sharing the gospel with someone else. I live for that. And so I don't look at growth as some kind of expansion of my kingdom. Well, Matt Judd's kingdom. No, I want to expand God's kingdom. And we're at that place right now. And a lot of the ministers are talking about these things and things the Lord's been dealing with me. This is a year of ministry like we've never seen it before. But we got to get it right and we got to do it right. And we can't do it in our own strength. We're going to need God's grace. So if we're going to need God's grace, then we're going to need to go to the throne of grace. And so this fourth thing really fits in here with what I'm talking about. The fourth thing we can learn from Paul's prayer life, Paul's example, is he encouraged others to pray for him. He encouraged others to pray for him. That he realized, even in himself and in his own prayers and his own ability, wasn't enough. He coveted others' prayers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, "And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Now, there may be a reason why some folks don't pray this prayer, because they don't want Pastor Matt, Pastor Susie, others in this church speaking any bolder than they already speak. Now, I can understand that. I mean, we've been out there, and I hope that we've been a challenging church. You know, just give it like we get it. Give it to you straight. Not a lot of, stuff added. Just give it to you straight as we're studying and praying and reading. Just lay it out there. But the scriptures, Paul asked over and over that prayers would be lifted up for him, that he would be bold. And so let me just tell you this. Don't be afraid to pray that prayer. Go ahead and pray that prayer, because it's what you need. It may not be always what you want, but it's what you need. Because you want to come to a place where the Spirit of God is. You want to come to a place where there's ministers hearing from God and just preaching it like it is. Isn't that what you want? Come on. I know you. Don't give me that timid little shy look. You're really a bunch of tigers on the inside. Rawr, rawr. Give it to me. Give it to me strong. Don't have no cream or sugar. So go ahead and pray that prayer, and I promise you, I'll respond. And we'll see teaching and preaching, and unlike any other time that we've seen before. All right, so let's make a little deal. Let's make a little deal. Let's make a deal with these folks. Let's make a deal. This is really good. We'll pray for them. All these things that Paul prayed. And we'll pray all these just outrageous prayers. And then they'll pray for us some really just outrageous prayers. And between the two of us, them and us, we're going to have us a time. Who wants to sign up? Now, you know what you're asking for now. Woo! Don't you want a church that's on fire? Don't you want a church where there's healings and miracles and the power of God is, and God lives there, and the Spirit, all that God has is there? Prosperity, health, strong relationships, love. Not just love, but love. Isn't that what you want? Come on. Where you just don't know on Sunday, Wednesday, school for life, you just don't know what may happen. Anything could happen at any time. Yeah. You're going to have to be on your toes. I felt like Jim on Mission Impossible. What's Jim's last name? I've been thinking about that, and the original. And don't worry about it. Okay. All right. Last scripture, and we'll wrap it up. This is amazing that I'm wrapping this up. You must have been praying. See, it's already working. All right. We've had a miracle. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. This is in the Amplified. Furthermore, brethren, do pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed on, spread rapidly, and run its course. See, when you're running, especially a race like the hurdles, there's barriers. And in order to run freely, the barrier's got to be removed. Prayer helps to remove the barriers. And God's plan is for us to move rapidly, run its course, for us to be able to run the course that God has for Good News Church, for Susie and I, for your life, to be able to run that course, to run free and be glorified and triumph, even as it has it done with you, that we may be delivered from perverse, improper, unrighteous, and wicked, actively malicious men. For not everybody has faith and is held by it. I mean, the enemy's got a plan. He's got a plan against this church. He is doing whatever he can to destroy this church, to destroy us, to destroy you. And I've seen it in churches. I've just seen, I mean, just strife like you could never imagine. Ungodly people just trying to just bring it down. So in this year, we're going to see a great harvest, but there might be some persecution. How are we going to handle that? Are we going to handle it in our own strength and just do all this fighting? No, we're going to need to pray. We're going to need to deal with things. And then as we've... And so I'm not just talking about praying for Susie and myself. I'm talking about praying for Nate and Kristen and Mike and Claire and other leaders. Praying for the kids' ministry and praying for the youth and praying for the ushers and the sound guys and the finances. And get this thing going where we just have each other in our hearts all the time. And just cover things. And then if we miss something, then we're just responsive to the Spirit of God. We'll be praying and He'll lead us to pray something. I mean, you could be over in another country and God could lead me to pray for you. There's no distance in prayer. But if all of us do our part, we're going to get it all covered. So I just want to tell you, if we will respond to this these messages these last four weeks, if we will respond and continue on, we're going to see harvest and growth in this ministry like never before, in every area. So every one of us needs to get ready for that. So whatever that takes, as far as our teams, you know, we've been talking to the various leaders about this, getting prepared for growth. We need to get ready, possibly two services, all the different things, whatever, you know, whatever we have to do. And we need to have that mentality and mindset that we will grow. We are growing, and that we will grow, and to expect it. And then don't take anything for granted. Everything that we do, let's get God's grace on it. Now, am I saying let's pray about what suit you wear in the morning? I mean, if you want to, go ahead and pray about it. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that. But I am going to close with this. I was reading about Paul in the Acts. Paul was leaving on this trip to go to, was going to go to a series of stops on his way to Jerusalem. I think he's in Ephesus. I don't know for sure where, I think he's in Ephesus. And so, Ephesus is a very busy place, ports and ships and all kind of things happening, you know, a lot of activity. And so here he's about to get on the ship, and he's with a bunch of people with him, and they're talking. And then it says, you know, Paul knelt down and prayed. Now, I would, you know, I'm not saying to do this now. I'm saying that's pretty radical. We're at the Augusta airport, and we're there about ready for people to get in the plane. And all of a sudden, Eddie here, he's with a group of people. He just says, okay, we're going to pray now. That would freak some people out. Freak you out. But I'm just telling you, that's just the way he was. This guy was bold. And he prayed about trips. Prayed about things that he did, where he was going. Prayed about decisions that are to be made. Getting God's grace on what it is that we do. All right. Y'all ready? Let's stand.